Mental Health Monday with Mick Coyle.
Radio City Talk.
It's Mental Health Monday from Radio City Talk for a Monday. We're mid-February in 2020 and we've got a really important conversation to have. We're going to be joined by the members of a junior rugby league football club who are, well, doing great work when it comes to mental health and an envelope in around the State of Mind, which is a wonderful series of events, weekends, training programs, a million and one different things, which over the last decade or so has expanded way beyond the sport of rugby league. And of course, when we have community football clubs, community rugby league clubs, cricket clubs, they connect and they touch on so many different aspects of society, which is why it's brilliant when these organisations come on board with the mental health side of things, that they're able to spread their message through things like Mental Health Monday. So let's say hello to the team today. We've got Emma Springford on the programme. Emma, great to see you. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
We've got Cathy Owen on the programme as well. Cathy, great to see you. How are you?
I'm great, thank you.
And Dr. Phil's with us as well from State of Mind. Dr. Phil Cooper, great to see you as well. How are you?
I'm really good, Mick, thanks.
Now, Cathy, I'm going to start with you. Now, Cathy's a teacher, so she's going to be great with the old public speaking. Cathy, great to see you. You're a parent of those involved in the club. Just tell us about these, I mean, within communities, the sports clubs. They're a vibrant part of a local community. And when conversations take place in those conversations go far and wide, don't they?
Yeah, I mean, our thing was obviously with Blackbrook, we've unfortunately had a couple of issues with men's mental health that have been touched on. And for me and for my husband, who were affected by this, as a teacher myself, my thing is grassroots. You've got to get to the youngsters. If we're going to make any form of a change at all, then get to the young. We need to normalise it. We need to be talking about it. I and my husband went to Blackbrook with this idea of workshops and talking to the boys about positive mental health. And hopefully by doing that, we can hopefully make a change going forward for future generations. And State of Mind got involved and we're so happy for them to be doing so.
So we're talking about the Blackbrook Royals Junior Rugby League Football Club based in St Helens. Now, when you look at the statistics for suicide figures, particularly in that part of Knowsley, St Helens, the numbers, they're significantly higher, even than the area around it as well. So this is something which, you know, it's something which we're going to have to deal with as a society.
Yeah, I mean, I think from when I've spoken to Phil and other people, St Helens is the fifth worst place in Britain for male suicide. And when you're looking at statistics as well, you know, the fact that 3/4 of all appointments with doctors about mental health issues are women. Unfortunately, though, 3/4 of all suicides are male. It's the biggest killer in men around, you know, the young adult age. And the idea for us is let's get to them young and let's have mental health ambassadors. And it doesn't matter if it's rugby, you know, it's great for us. But we want to spread the word. We want to, you know, the ripple effect, you know. Already I posted on Facebook today what we were doing today. It's the first time I've ever done a filmed post rather than written. But, you know, if it's a cricket team, if it's a football team, if it's art, you know, this idea of mental health ambassadors. Ambassadors, and we're not saying, you know, they're not therapists, but to signpost and know where to go to, who they can talk to, if it's whether it's one of the children or if it's one of those parents, because they might not want to speak. And so we are starting hopefully something which will have that ripple effect in St Helens. That's the plan that we want to have.
Let's bring Emma into the conversation. Emma, were you aware of State of Mind?
Yes, was aware of State of Mind, but as Cathy will know, I was ignorant to mental health. I don't know whether that's because I had a busy lifestyle and I'm thinking, I just saw everybody as happy. Surely, you know, they're fine. They're always smiling. And it's only with Cathy and Paul approaching the club and speaking about their own experiences, I've become more educated. So every day I'm being educated on mental health. And when we had the State of Mind in 2 weeks ago for the coaches session, it was just that Phil Vivas actually said, just elaborate on asking somebody, are they okay? Because that little word, that simple word, okay, might mean the world to somebody. Then you're on their wavelength and they're like, she wants me to open up. I can tell her my problems, or she is asking me, am I okay? Yeah, State of Mind, great charity. I've just spoke to Phil prior to coming on to ask, could we have the State of Mind logo on our shirt for the under-11s this season? So Phil's kindly agreed. Thank you, Phil.
Excellent stuff. And I think you mentioned Phil Vivas there. Now, you know, this daft conversation people have about real blokes, you know, don't show emotion. When Phil Vivas stands up, and I'm not going to do the voice. We all know the voice. When he stands up and talks in the way that he talks, you're never going to think, oh, right, I'm not allowed to talk about these things. Yeah. If you have got, and this is why the rugby league involvement is so absolutely crucial, you've got these big, burly, manly men, and they're just talking about their feelings, and Phil does it, and Danny does it, and they're absolutely brilliant. And I think that cuts right through all that noise and all that nonsense about what a man is supposed to be and what a man is supposed to sound like. Because no one's going to say to them, oh, you're a wimp or you're a snowflake. Because look at them. They've been putting their body on the line week in, week out. Physically, they're incredible. But of course, they know the value of having a mind, which can match the body as well. Phil, I often find myself talking about state of mind when people talk about, we've got to have this conversation about mental health. We've got to find ways of connecting with people. Can you get the football clubs involved? Can we get pop stars or celebrities involved? And I always say, have a look at what state of mind have done, because, and I don't know how many years specifically it is that you've been up and running now, but you guys are way ahead of the trend in terms of doing this stuff and getting this message out. And testament to the fact that Emma knew about state of mind and thought, well, if we're going to do something about mental health, we've got to get state of mind involved. That shows the commitment that you guys have made over the years.
Yeah, hopefully so, Mick. I think we've been knocking around since 2011, so it feels like a long time, I have to say. But yeah, I think what they're doing at Blackbrook's absolutely fantastic. I think getting to the young kids as early as possible. About half of mental health problems will start to be seen by people around about age 14. So anything you can do to manage the adversity that kids are going to go through day to day in school or prior to that or outside school, then anything that can be done in a sports club is fantastic from our point of view. So it's an honour to be on your kits this year, so we're absolutely delighted for that today. So, yeah, anything that we can do to improve the mental fitness of young people and make sure that they can be mentally fitter throughout their life, well, hopefully they'll allow them to deal with the ups and downs that they're going to experience.
Now, we've spoken to you on the programme before. We've spoken to Danny Sculthorpe, Phil Vivas as well, and we've often spoken about the professionals who are in the game at the moment and how they might need to think about their mental health and mindfulness. And we've spoken as well, particularly with Danny in mind, about how a career might end and how you might move forward in your career. I don't think we've spoken about how you adapt and change the work that you do to be more suitable for, you know, an under-11s team, a team of 13-year-olds, a 14-year-olds. How are you able to make those changes?
Okay, well, I mean, from a clinical point of view, obviously I work in the NHS as a nurse consultant, so we're mindful of all the different stats that are changing year on year. We know around younger people in terms of their common mental health problems that are going to develop from 16 to 24. We know prior to 14, mental health issues are going to start to begin to show. So we try and engage people on their level, really. We may manage the messages that we give it to make them a little bit more subtle, a little bit more acceptable. Again, the good thing about getting to younger people as well, in certainly in community clubs, is that you'll probably have parents knocking around as well in those rooms. So so what you're trying to do is hit both the kids as well as the parents, and hopefully you equip a whole bunch of people in a community to begin to address issues or begin to learn how to manage them just a little bit better. And if you can change one person's way of looking at stuff, then fantastic, great stuff, job done.
Is there something that you're finding that young people, early teens, that they connect with in terms of messages around mindfulness? Because, of course, if you throw a lot of stats about suicide at them, you know, they can be, it's intimidating, you know, it can be a little bit scary. What sort of things are you finding in making those connections?
Yeah, I mean, again, you just got to look at different elements of social media. You touched on TikTok before, looking at apps like, say, Headspace and stuff that people can access themselves. Younger people perhaps may communicate more by a text or email rather than one-to-one, face-to-face sessions. So in the NHS, you're always thinking about how you're going to engage the next generation, because they're going to be massively different from my generation. The pressures I've experienced will have changed massively as an old geezer like myself. You know,
is Phil Vivas on TikTok?
I think he's on a countdown for something, but I'm not quite sure about TikTok.
Cathy, you had the conversation just a couple of weeks ago. In terms of those sessions, What will they look like? Will it be like a classroom type thing? Will you try and do it on maybe on a rugby pitch where you've, you know, balls in hand and you know, you teams against each other? Try and integrate it, if you like, into a training session.
Well, the idea is that obviously it's very much as a session that will be held in the social club itself, and all the boys will be there together, all mixed together. And I think it'll be really good as well for the younger boys, you know, of 11-year-olds, to see the older boys there together. And it's the idea that it's a community, and I think that's the one word we keep coming back to, isn't it? You know, it's a community. We've all got to look out for each other, and to know the signs. Even, you know, if they do this session now, it might be 10 years in the future where they have a friend who, you know, has some of those signposting symptoms, that they don't have good negative, a good mental health at that point. And if that one person knows those signs, you know, and can somehow help, that's what's important.
Mm. Absolutely. And in terms of what you hope for, Emma, you know, in the future, if we can, you know, consign these sort of suicide figures to the history books, that's going to be wonderful as well. But I guess the work that you do now, you'll never really know how it'll benefit the community and those young men. Hopefully it'll normalize conversations around mental health and they'll never find themselves going down that path. But you're empowering them with so much, you know, incredible stuff which they're going to take into their lives, be it from a rugby point of view, hopefully their families in the future, the conversations they'll have then with maybe their children, maybe with their relatives in the future as well. That's a really big step, and this is all coming from their local junior rugby league football club.
Yeah, so long term, obviously we had the coaches state of mind session 2 weeks ago, and we've got the players one this coming Wednesday. Once that's done, our pay it forward is now coming together. So I'm in conversations with the junior secretary over at Yorkshire Juniors, who has signposted us to three possible teams that want to come on board. So with that, we're going to give State of Mind the donation for doing the workshops over at Blackbrook, and then we're going to match that donation, hand it over to a club in Yorkshire for them to do the State of Mind, come in and speak to them, on the proviso that they do get some sponsorship or fundraising. And sponsorship wise, we've been really fortunate because Kathy's husband Paul, with his work contacts, has got just under 2,000 at the moment.
Right.
To come in, like sponsorship money, to help us to make this initiative a success. And I think I mentioned in my email a quote that Kathy did: if we can make a difference just to one person's life, we then know we've succeeded. So hopefully within the next couple of weeks, we'll be arranging a trip over to Yorkshire to hand over our donation to them. And then they can get Phil and the guys, you know, over to do a bit of the State of Mind sessions for a club over in Yorkshire. And then the idea is then the Yorkshire club will pass back to North West Counties club, and then so on and so on. And then the kids can see, like, at Blackbrook, where we started and where it's going. So the plan is to have, like, a big map put up in the club, and then every time a new club starts, we can pinpoint, and then eventually we can see where it's going.
It's so brilliant that, because it also cuts through the, you know, every other team's your rival, you know, that, you know, them across the M62, you got to be wary of them. And actually it just cuts through all of that and goes, look, we want to do something that might save either your life or the lives of somebody very close to you. And we want you to be part of this. But we also ask that you then do the same for one of us. And then suddenly there's this sort of respect build that cuts through that thing of, and we'll stuff you in the cup. Because you can still stuff them in the cup. That's absolutely fine. Yeah. But it cuts through that. But again, representative of communities and communities communicating with other communities.
Yeah, that's so important. And as a, you know, I teach secondary school myself, and I've been teaching now 18 years. And the change in with teenagers, you know, because of how far social media and everything has gone, you know, that the students who are now dealing with issues of anxiety and what they look like and, you know, bullying issues and mental health issues is really important. But still, it's very often I find the girls who are very more open to opening up about it than is the lads there, you know. So it's really important, and it's important for the dads. You know, one thing we really try to get is that the men, the dads, come to these sessions with their lads, you know, because there might be a man there who needs that help, and it might be good for them. Or is it the fact of, you know, I've said, dads need to open up to their sons. They need to say if they've had mental health issues, or, you know, if they've ever felt down. And this idea that boys do cry, you know, I always remember that song, Boys Don't Cry, and they do. And we need to normalise that, and we need to say that's absolutely fine. And, you know, sometimes I think men will say, you know, to sons, suck it up, or, oh, don't stop, don't act like a girl. Yeah. And, you know, these dads are the role models. So it's trying to, again, make them think about maybe what they say and how can we sort of normalise that.
I mentioned this on the programme before, so forgive me. I was on a playground, and there was a little boy, and he was, you know when kids are a little bit really whiny?
Yeah.
And he was playing on this thing, he was whining away, and my daughter was there. My daughter's, she was 4 at the time, she's 5 now, and she was playing away, but playing really nicely, and she was climbing, they were doing this climber, she was all the way up the top, all the way up, all the way down. And this kid was whining and whining, and he went, oh, stop being such a girl. And I felt like saying to him, mate, look at my daughter there. She's climbing up there. She's not moaning. So whatever your problem is with your kid, it's probably you. It's got nothing to do with the gender. And don't be then pitching him against girls in the future because you're comparing him to one. Because the problem is obviously your communication with him. Or he's just tired. Give him a break.
But it is. And it is that, you know, we need to stop using those phrases, and we need to normalize it for a boy and say, you know, it is okay if you want to cry, you cry, talk to me about it, and to open those avenues of communication, I think, is really important between dads and sons and mums as well. You know, I'm not saying that shouldn't happen, but certainly if we start at this young age that we are, and we get boys used to talking about their feelings, you know, and then don't feel they're going to be stigmatized by that, then that's really important. And if we can do that, if we can save one person's life, then we'll have made an absolute difference.
Am I right in saying, Phil, that other sports have taken on state of mind now? They've looked at the work you've done in rugby league and they've gone, yeah, we can turn that into our tennis players or cricket players, whoever it would be.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, again, if you like Premier League football, despite the break at the moment, you'll have seen the Heads Up campaign that's been spearheaded by the Duke of Cambridge, Prince William, which is fantastic. So I saw players running around the pitch in their T-shirts, even yesterday, I think it was. So yeah, fantastic. I think any sport that wants to sort of publicise and help people's mental fitness, absolutely bang on, love it. I think it's great. I've always envisaged it would be fantastic if Premier League footballer get involved and do stuff, and they are,
so,
to their credit.
So you're nearly 10 years on from the launch of State of Mind, with the State of Mind weekend. We've got another round of that hopefully coming around for this year's Super League as well. The heads together stuff, which is going on now in FA Cup games, some Premier League games as well. What sort of thing should they be expecting to see in the next few years in terms of connectivity, in terms of people going, you know, that thing you do around that weekend, can we do something with it? What's been your experience of State of Mind and how that plays out over those longer periods of time?
Yeah, I think it's great. I mean, over the last 10 years, we've sort of delivered education sessions to a range of sports, primarily rugby league initially. It's over like 80,000 people now, which obviously that makes me shake my head when I think about it. But again, we've done sessions in rugby union. We've been over to Ireland in Gaelic football and hurling, cricket, everywhere really that we've been. I think clubbing in the Welsh League are actually going to have a themed match on Easter Saturday at Conway Borough. I'm not sure if they'll be listening today, but hey, oh, no worries. And the Northwest Counties Football League have us as their charity partner at the moment. So for us, I mean, rugby league's my sport, it's great sport ever, but any sport's great. You'll have those communities in every sport. You know, schools where Kathy works, you'll have people who are playing sport all the time. So sport has a link with lots of different boys and girls at different ages and different levels. We've just pioneered a squad goals drama based around sport and a young lad getting injured, but that's just the backdrop to look at all those issues around social media that we were talking about earlier on. So squad goals is great. It's about to tour again. I think it's back in Warrington, then off to Preston, I think, very shortly. So again, Blackrock Royals are doing what we aspire to do. So we want to get to every community club in rugby league, doesn't matter whether it's rugby league or rugby union, and want to train the players, also want to train coaches and give them free mental health first aid training, because, I mean, we make money out of commercial sessions, but we plough that back into, as a charity, to do sessions in community clubs and schools and colleges, universities, because that's where we see a big problem, you know, big issues with lots of people. So.
Can I ask you about that? Because obviously Blackbrook invited you in because of a circumstance they found within, you know, members of the club and their close proximity. And you guys can react through State of Mind to go in and go, well, we can do something about it. But from what you just described there, you're talking about proactive work. You're talking about trying to get to people before they've experienced a terrible tragedy, maybe within their communities, trying to make those connections. Do people respond differently in those two different things? Because if it's reactive, it focuses the mind, that sharpens the mind. But if it's proactive, you've got to almost explain to people why it's important that they listen to that. Does that make the response different?
It can do from time to time. So for example, when you're working alongside different sports, so you've got like pioneering clubs like Blackbrook Royals, to start giving you a nice little plug there, sort of thing. But when you work alongside clubs who want to get involved and do stuff, that's fantastic. However, because State of Mind in Rugby League has been around for quite a while, the concept of mental fitness, which has been adapted all over the place, which is great now, means that you can think around not just your physical fitness that sports clubs will do, but if you want those clubs to be successful and win, mental fitness is the priority. You speak to any elite athlete and they'll talk about what's between their ears is the crucial bit for them to win or lose games or championships. And that's massively important, and especially for young lads who'll think, if I want to be a professional footballer or whatever, then they'll take that message on board.
Well, can I ask you about that, Emma and Kathy, in terms of those conversations about young people? I don't know, when I was a kid, it was always, if you're not good enough, if you're not tall enough, then you're not being in the team and it's not happening. Is Phil right when he says, actually, now there's a greater focus on the mental side of things, that young people have got to be minded to succeed. They've got to be aware of the challenges that they'll come up against, the pitfalls of a failure, the pitfalls of, you know, a terrible injury that will rule them out, maybe of an entire career. These are all things that might be coming their way. Are they ready to embrace that challenge, do you think?
I mean, I know as a teacher myself, one thing over the years I've had a few ex-students. I think Stephen Marsh was probably the biggest one who went to play for Widnes. And always with students, you know, saying, your career will not be forever. You know, you've got to be prepared. You've got to have that mental fitness. You've got to know, what are you going to do beyond that? What are you going to, are you going to be prepared for that? You know, and I think that's really important for them to know about, really.
There was an interesting article on Sky Sports website at the weekend around, is well-being more important than tactics in sport?
Right.
So people talking about the impact of actually being mentally fit and having your players mentally fit, settled in if they're coming from abroad, looking after families, whole range of different stuff that's crucial.
Yeah, absolutely. We always try and factor that in, don't we? Particularly football clubs. If you buy a load of players for 100 million quid and throw them in and they're rubbish and they don't play as a team. Yeah. And people go, well, we've spent the money. Why have we not got a good team? And then you find out that they don't eat together, they don't, you know, they never commute together, they don't have conversations together, they all speak different languages. And it goes, well, of course, that's not the physical side of the game. That's about something that's a little bit different.
It's the dynamics, isn't it? It's how we all socialise, and, you know, it's how we interact with each other, and it's about respect for each other. And these are all the things that are really important. And we do have that down at Blackbrook. We definitely have a community there that do talk, and that's what's important. And all the kids know that they're a team, and they're treated as a team, and they're treated with respect. And now each team has an ambassador that goes to put their view forward to the committee, you know. So they are being heard and they are being talked to, and that's important.
Emma, do you think that this is something which is like sustainable? That some people will think, oh, we won't be able to do this, or if we do it once, then after a few years we'll have forgotten all about it. Do you think it's something that you can integrate into Blackbrook and actually have it as something that you revisit every year, that those training sessions are ongoing? Is that something that's
definitely
workable?
Yeah, definitely. Once, like, the kids' session on Wednesday is over and the Pay It Forwards initiatives, like, up and running, what we are looking at, because Blackbrook Royals, we start at age 4, which is like our cubs, and then it runs through straight to under 16s. So the Wednesday sessions from like under 11s to under 16s, but we want to look at the kids at the younger end, so from cubs up to under 10s. And I was discussing with Paul Owen, Kathy's husband, and Paul Levick, our club chair, about looking at something for the younger age is maybe like a fun afternoon. So it's more about the well-being and just making it a fun day. So the younger age groups aren't missing out.
Are you up against, I don't want you to drop anyone in it, but there will be people involved in community sport who will still be obsessed with the winning. And you know, the competitive parents and that are going, look, it doesn't matter what our kids are like, it's as long as they win. As long as the try goes over the line on the match day, that's it. As long as we're in charge when the hooter sounds, that's us done. But you're talking about something that's a little bit bigger than that. You're talking about, you know, empowering your kids to be ready no matter what, whether it's related to a rugby league game or whether it's related to something in life now or in the future. Are people going to be mindful enough to be able to see past that?
I mean, my partner is Tom's coach, so he's had like the under 11 since they were four, and he's always said to them, it's not about winning, it's about going out and having fun. And we do come up against teams that you leave the parents, come on, you've got to get one over on Blackbrook and you've got to make sure we win in this, that and the other. However, especially from under 11s downwards, it is all about having fun and playing with your mates. I know once we get to under 12s, you get some cup rounds then, so then it is, you're in it to win it. But now it's all about having fun with the kids and taking the pressure off them. Yeah. So, yeah, it's great to come off on a Sunday morning and you've won by one try or whatever, but it's the result doesn't matter at the end of the day as long as the kids are having fun.
Well, I think that's as much as anything. People use that word resilience, don't they? And actually, sport is a safe place to learn resilience, isn't it? That, you know what, you got knocked out of the cup or you got stuffed 72-0, whatever the thing is. But guess what? Training's still on next Wednesday and you play it again next weekend. And then guess what? The life carries on as well. And sport's a safe place for that.
I think sport's a really good place to learn resilience. And that idea of when you get knocked down and you get back up again, I think that's a really important facet to really instill in children nowadays. Because very often some children do get things on a plate and you speak to some kids and, you know, what do you want to be when you grow up? I'm going to be this, I'm going to be that. Normally now it's a YouTuber or something like that, or a TikTok star. But being resilient, it's not always going to happen. And when you get knocked down, how do you get back up again? How are you resilient? How do you keep yourself positive and on a good mental playing field, I think is really important.
Oh, absolutely, as well. In terms of this one, Phil, this is obviously keeping you very busy.
Okay, yeah.
And continues to do so as well. How much of your time is now taken up with State of Mind?
I have to be careful in case my bosses are listening. But, only joking, obviously, Simon. Obviously, a lot of my spare time is taken up, as the charity sort of progressed and there's more people involved, then I don't have to be the treasurer. I don't have to do everything that I used to do, secretary and stuff. So pressure in that sort of respect has sort of reduced for myself, which is great. Obviously, I've got to look after my own mental fitness, flipping heck if I don't. So it's always busy. The great thing you mentioned about sustainability before, though, and like you were asking Emma, the Rugby League World Cup hits us in 2021 and they've just launched a mental fitness charter. So they're planning to run workshops again around mental fitness for about 8,000 young players. So it's a massive sort of endeavour that they're going to try and do. And again, with players, and obviously games are going to be played, obviously in Merseyside. So keep your eyes out for that, really.
Absolutely. Well, that'll keep you certainly busy. Just 8,000.
Just 8,000. A bit of a piece of cake.
Just get Phil Vivas to do most of them anyway.
I'm sure I will.
Emma, have you achieved everything you wanted to achieve by coming on this here radio station? You get all the messages out there, yeah?
I'm hoping so.
Yeah, hoping so, yeah. You're just basking in the feedback coming through. I can hear the phone beeping. Don't worry about that one as well. Now, Tom's in the studio as well. Is Tom going to say a bit? Now, Tom doesn't like heights and doesn't like going live on the radio. Yeah. But, Tom, is there anyone that you'd like to say hello to? We call it shout-outs. Do you want to do any shout-outs on the radio?
Shout-out to under-11s and Gary Hughes and Gaz Lowe and Paul Owen, me dad, yeah.
Yeah, good one.
Shout-out to all the coaches, yeah.
Good stuff. There we go. We got shout outs there. Thank you all for your time. Thanks for joining us on the programme today. Yep. Dr. Phil Cooper, always a pleasure. We'll speak again very soon, I'm sure, from State of Mind. People type in State of Mind, Rugby League, all the information about the work that they do and how you can get in contact with them as well. The Blackbrook Royals as well. Emma and Kathy, thank you for joining us on the programme too.
Thank you very much.
It's Mental Health Monday from Radio City Talk. Don't forget, you can find mental health services close to you. Wherever your postcode is, you can type it into the Hub of Hope, hubofhope.co.uk. That will make connections with local organisations that do wonderful work from a mental health point of view. hubofhope.co.uk. There's also an app which uses the location on your device to find those services for you. I'd urge you to check that out. hubofhope.co.uk. Mental Health Monday from Radio City Talk.
Mental Health Monday with Mick Coyle.
Radio City Talk.